Alice was to bake a cake for her church sale for missions, but the problem was she totally forgot about it until the last minute. She baked an angel food cake, but when she took it from the oven, you know what happened? The center had dropped flat. There was simply no time to bake another cake, so she looked around the house for something, anything, to bake up, to build up the center of that cake. She found it in the bathroom, a roll of toilet paper. She plunked it in, and she covered it beautifully with icing. I mean, the finished product. It looked so beautiful, and she rushed it to the church. But before she left the house, Alice gave her daughter money and specific instructions to be at the bake sale the moment it opened and to buy that cake and to bring it home. Problem solved, right? Except when the daughter arrived at the sale, the attractive cake had already been purchased. Well, the next day, Alice was invited to a friend's home where a group of the church ladies gathered for a game of bridge. After the game, a very fancy lunch was served, and to top it off, the cake in question was presented for dessert. Alice saw the cake, she didn't know what to do, and she was just ready to jump out of her chair to find a discreet way to tell the hostess about it. But before she could get to her feet, one of the other ladies said, "What a beautiful cake." Alice sat back in her chair when she heard the hostess say, "Thank you, I baked it myself." Let us pray together as we delve into the story of Joseph to learn about the consequences of self-promotion and the blessings of divine promotion and the importance of developing ourselves during the tough and challenging times in life. Let us pray. God, as we hear your words read and shared, open our ears, help us to hear. God, would you free us from distractions around us and within us so that we can listen? And would you give us the ability to hear not what we want to hear, but what you want us to hear? Open our minds so that we can get just a glimpse of the divine. And then, God, open our hearts, our souls, mold us and form us, we pray, in the name of Christ. Amen. In this morning's scripture lesson, we come across a man who, in his younger days, was not a wise representative for God. His actions were very self-promoting, and he put up barriers between himself and others. The man is Joseph. Joseph was the 11th of 12 sons born to Jacob. Joseph and his younger brother Benjamin were born of Rachel, who was Jacob's favorite wife. The other sons were born from the other three wives of Jacob. Joseph was favored by his father, and his father unwisely did nothing to hide his favoritism. He even gave Joseph a special gift, a gift he gave none of the other sons. He gave him a beautiful coat of many colors. And Joseph, he flaunted that coat and his favored status. As one would assume, this favoritism didn't sit well at all with Joseph's older brothers. And then to make matters even worse, Joseph had dreams where his brothers and even his parents would bow down to him and he would rule over them, and he proudly shared those dreams with his family. As you might guess, that made his brothers dislike him all the more. His arrogance, it wasn't a positive witness to his brothers. It didn't draw them in close relationship. It didn't draw them closer to the God in his dreams. And so, to make a long story short, as you heard in today's scripture lesson, Joseph's brothers decided to kill him. They couldn't handle his self-promotion, his attitude, any longer. But at the last minute, They sold him into slavery instead. In just one day, he went from being the privileged son to being a slave in Egypt. But God was at work in even those circumstances, just like God is involved in all the circumstances in our lives. And 23 years later, we find Joseph in a position of privilege in Egypt, and there is a famine in his homeland of Israel. And so his family, who is starving, comes to Egypt searching for food. And Joseph gives his family food, gives the nation of Israel food, and saves all of them. In these 23 years, Joseph has grown wiser and more humble and was reconciled with his brothers. It's really a wonderful story. For more details about the story, go to the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, and start reading at chapter 37. There are many powerful lessons from Joseph's life that can help guide our lives and can move us deeper in our spiritual quest. Joseph helps us understand that self-promotion stunts us spiritually, but divine promotion changes and saves lives. Read that with me. Self-promotion stunts us spiritually, but divine promotion changes and saves lives. Every single time Joseph tried to promote himself, it worked against him, and it turned others away from him, away from God. When he told his brothers his dreams, lording it over them that God had set him apart for some special purpose, he ended up being hated by his brothers and sold into slavery. But later in life, when Joseph was successful in Pharaoh's court, he gave God all the credit and all the glory. Somehow in those years, he had learned that success comes from God, and the only kind of advancement that matters is the kind that God gives, and God's kind of advancement is always lived out in love and service to others. God's kind of advancement never needs to take credit, never needs to focus on itself, but instead focuses on the needs of others. The real moment of truth for Joseph came after his father's death. His brothers were afraid that Joseph had been forgiving of them only out of love and respect for their father, but now that their father had died, he might pay them back for their terrible evil deed. And so his brothers went to see him, and they fell on their knees before him, and they begged him for forgiveness. To which Joseph said this, everyone, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God?" He reassured his brothers and he spoke kindly to them. In the old days, Joseph thought he was Lord over them. Now he was making it clear that only God is worthy of being bowed down to, and that he is God's servant, which means that he is called to love and serve his brothers. When Joseph was a boy, he dreamed of power for his own gain. When he was older, he realized that God empowered him not for solely for personal pleasure and gain, but so that he could help save and serve his people. What a change in attitude. Now think about it. Isn't being around people like young Joseph, who have a need for self-promotion, isn't that trying? Doesn't it get tiring to be around people who are always bragging about their accomplishments, position, and possessions? Isn't it exasperating to be with people who are constantly talking about what they do, seeking compliments and affirmation and rewards? That's self-promotion. And if we are honest, most all of us fall into that trap from time to time. But divine promotion, that is something totally different. And we see that in the elder Joseph. He realized that God had blessed him not solely for his benefit, but so that he could serve others in a better way. He was blessed in order to be a blessing. That's what divine promotion looks like. Well, now I want us to pause for a moment. I want us to go just a bit deeper here. Make it a little more personal. Maybe even uncomfortably personal. Folks, the truth is that we here have been blessed with abundance. So many of us have amazing gifts, and we have opportunities that most of the world's people only dream of. And so the question for us to wrestle with is the exact same question Joseph wrestled with. How are we going to respond to the blessings that we have been given? Will we be like young Joseph and engage in self-promotion, believing that we are somehow more deserving than others, better, superior to other people, and spend the bulk of our time and resources on things that make us comfortable and make others think we are important and special? Or will we be like the older Joseph and see our giftedness as divine promotion? That our abundance comes with a calling to use our special position and gifts and resources to help and serve others, to be an agent of God's blessing in the lives of others. Not long ago, I saw a Facebook post that suggested that when it comes time for us to cast our votes in an election, we should not vote with what is the best for ourselves at the forefront of our mind, but instead, we should vote with what is the best for the most vulnerable among us at the forefront of our mind. Is that how we think? Is that how we vote? I am sure that's how Jesus teaches us to think and live, and vote. The real question is, at the end of our lives, will we have lived a life of self-promotion, or will we, like Joseph, have moved closer and closer to that life of divine promotion? Will we be givers and servers, like Joseph, like Jesus? In this church, we are working to regularly and often and consistently provide you with information about opportunities to give financially, to give of your time and talents and gifts to serve, and we're asking for your participation. And sometimes we will give you many options to choose from. And when that happens, sometimes it won't be something you feel God's leading you to do, and some of you will feel led to do one of those things and others more. When requests do come for financial gifts, for gifts of your time and service, don't act on them simply because your pastor or your church asks you to. We say to you, as Joseph said to his brothers, we are not God. But folks, God is here. So when opportunities are presented, be talking with God about what God is calling you to do and give, how God is calling you to serve. You see, the truth of the matter is that God's leading will be different for each one of us. And so we won't criticize or judge each other. We won't compare ourselves with each other. Instead, we will encourage and celebrate everyone living out their response to God's calling in their life. Did you know that at this church, we have a new team that is going to be focused on hands-on mission and social justice ministry? We're going to be conducting an open discussion, a brainstorming opportunity, next Monday, March 2nd at 6 p.m., a little over a week from now, to explore both short-term and long-term projects for our church members to participate in. An excellent example would be the wonderful success that we had with the Advent Project providing supplies for CHUM. If you personally feel led, if you are passionate about some areas of mission and social justice, you are invited to come and help us discern and begin planning what we will do through this church. Let's together find meaningful projects, both big and small. Whether you're interested in diverse projects such as mission trips, immigration issues, racial justice, feeding the poor, housing issues, shelter work, etc. Please come and share your ideas and thoughts with us, and then we will make a game plan to proceed and engage this congregation. Because we know that this congregation has a heart to do more and more. And we know God has placed this congregation here to bless our community and world in profound ways. If you're not able to come on Monday, March 2nd, you are welcome to submit ideas and suggestions and ways you want to participate to Karen Allseth, our chair. Karen, raise your hand. Or to me. But back to Joseph. Another lesson we learn from Joseph's story is the importance of developing ourselves during the tough times. Joseph's life turned out well, but he certainly had plenty of tough times. Think about it. He was sold into slavery. He had to live in a land far from home. During his captivity, he was wrongly accused of making advances toward his boss's wife, and he was thrown into prison where he was forgotten for 2 years. How easy it would have been for Joseph to decide that life was unfair and to complain and give up. But that's not what he did. He tried to learn something from every situation. He chose to live with integrity and a positive spirit regardless of the circumstances in which he found himself. Instead of letting the tough times in his life make him bitter, he let God use those things to make him better, to develop strength, depth, and a compassionate heart in him. In Romans 8:28, we read this, everyone. God can make all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to God's purposes. Now, when you read this, I want you to be really, really careful. This does not say that God makes bad things happen in our lives to teach us something or to develop character. No, that is bad theology. God is the author of good and blessing. God does not put bad things in our lives. But the scripture does tell us that God can make good happen even out of the terrible, painful, challenging circumstances that are a part of this life on earth. That's what God did for Joseph. And that's what God will do for us if we invite and allow God. Have you heard the story about the bride who was very, very nervous on her wedding day? She told her pastor that she didn't think she could make it down the whole aisle without shaking or crying or maybe even fainting. And so the pastor said, when you begin your walk, I want you to remember this 3-point formula. First, look straight down the aisle. Second, when you get about halfway, look up at the altar. And third, when you get all the way to the front of the church, look at your groom. First the aisle, and then the altar, and then him. Well, the trembling bride, she agreed to try this advice, and as it turned out, it worked beautifully. She walked with a radiant glow on her face and confidence in her step with no sign of nervousness at all. But imagine the surprise of the congregation as they heard her repeating 3 words over and over again as she performed her bridal walk. I'll alter him. I'll alter him. Now, I am told that most spouses don't have a lot of success in altering their partner. True? But the good news of the Christian faith is that God can and does alter us. There is dramatic change that can take place in any heart and in any situation that is offered to God. Joseph allowed God to alter him. And as a result, God restored relationships and used him to save the lives of an entire nation. Just think of the wonderful possibilities in store for us and this church, and yes, the United Methodist Church, as we open ourselves to the altering hand of God. Beloved ones, we are on a spiritual journey. Let's give God the glory for all that we have and all that we accomplish. And in those times when we fail, in those times when life is tough, let's find the learning and the good that can come from that. And then God will work in our lives just like God worked in Joseph's life. And as a result, other people's lives will be made better and even saved. And the world will find hope and healing. And we will begin to know real, abundant life. May it be so. Amen.